All right, today I'm here with T.W. Stone, and first of all, what's T.W. stand for?
T.W., that's it.
That's it? Just T.W.?
I had a lot of trouble with that in the service.
Really?
Because they wanted to give me a name, but T.W. is all I have.
Really? That's really cool. I love T.W. I think that's awesome. That's a really cool name.
I signed 5 pay slips in the Navy, and they would rip them up, go fill out another one, and I'd go fill out another one. They'd rip it up, put your full name on there, and I said, that's my full name. And we had quite a little conversation about it, but a lot of people that was in the service, they had initials only, and they'd give them a name, but they never did give me one.
That's great. So it stayed T.W.
I'd had to put parentheses around the T and the W. And I got, later on in years, I got to where I thought that looked impressive. So I did it on the stone, too. So Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you served in the Navy during World War II, is that correct?
Yes, in the Army.
In the Army.
In the Korean War, I got called.
For the Army? Wow. What did...
That's quite a story.
Yeah, well, tell me about, when you enlisted into... Did you go to the Army or Navy first?
I went to the Navy in World War II.
Yeah?
And I was... I can tell you about going aboard to the USS Lasuth. It was a new ship. They built this ship in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. They could build a ship in 24 hours.
Incredible.
550 feet long and 50 foot wide, and it was ready to go to sea in 24 hours. That seems impossible, Mike.
Yeah.
But ours, it took them 3 weeks. And it was a new ship. And we all, November the 1st, we went aboard, 1943. And we mustered, had to wear dress blues, big mm-hmm. day.
Yeah, oh yeah, big I bet. I bet it was.
The Navy all showed up and they had a band there playing. And I don't know, I think a lady broke the bottle over the bow of the ship.
And blessed it, or whatever they call
blessed
it.
Blessed it, yeah. And they put this commissioning painted up on the highest point of the ship. And then they mustered us in ranks. You know, we was all in a rank together. Most of us people were... I just got out of basic training up at Farragut, Idaho. And I'd say probably 80% of the people are just out of basic training. We had supervisors when we went aboard ship, but they called out your name and you went up the gangplank. And they said to me, they said, you're going to be a baker. So that's what I did. But
have you ever done anything like that before? You never baked before?
No, I didn't even know how to. I was just 17 years old. I didn't even know how to read a pair of scales.
But you learned, though.
Oh, I learned pretty quick. We had supervisors that in each department that, like the gunner's mates, they had supervisors. The baker department, we had 2 bakers that kind of... Well, it was advanced training course, you know, like the Army, you have basic, and then you have advanced training. And that's what we did aboard our ship. We had advanced training. We had a lot of people that had never been on board ship.
Yeah. Had you?
No.
Yeah.
Guys, no. I lived in Edna, Kansas, and I knew how to slop hogs.
No.
Milk cows, but I didn't know how to bake.
Well,
but I got along pretty good, and I'm glad I was in that bakery department.
That's cool. That's really cool.
And I don't know. Of course, that ship I was on, it was real confining on a board ship with 225 people, and I forget how many officers there were, maybe 20. But in every department, I had a chief also. But there was part of that ship, most of that ship I never was on. It was pretty private.
Yeah. You know.
But it worked out real well for me.
Where'd you go?
All over the Pacific.
Really?
There was every island out there. We hauled 100-octane gasoline for airplanes and trucks. Hauled ammo. It was a supply ship.
Yeah, yeah.
I've told the kids it was kind of like a, you know, the big cruisers and the big aircraft carriers and the battleships. They're kind of like the quarterback and the running backs in the football game. They got all the glory. And we was...
the O-line.
We was like linemen,
you're the
you know.
O-line. Yeah.
And
yeah.
They couldn't get along without
no,
us.
No way. And you're usually the ones that are the most susceptible to attack because the enemy wants you guys. They don't want to go out to the front. They want to cut the supply.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. I mean, that's what everyone else does.
Yep.
So you guys are the ones that got the target on your back all the time.
We had to worry about, there at the last, we had to worry about the suicide airplanes, but we never did.
Never did.
Have any. Didn't have any. Problems with them, but it was enjoyable. They had a good crew. There was four of us bakers, and we baked at night, so we didn't. We slept in the daytime. We did a lot of abandoned ship drills,
mm-hmm.
and fire drills, and man overboard drills, and man your battle station. Of course, we had the battle of had to man our battle station every morning and every evening. But he was always training, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Let me ask you this. Did you keep baking after you got out of the service?
A little bit.
A little bit?
But then I eventually got into the restaurant business.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And paid someone to do it for you.
I was a fry cook in the restaurant on Turnpike.
Okay.
In 1962 at Topeka, Kansas. And I had a guy come in. His name was Tootie Blake. And he came in the restaurant about every morning to have breakfast. And he turned out to be kind of a politician, but he ordered one hot cake and an egg. And the girl asked him how he wanted his egg, and he said, "Well, that cook will put it out the way he wants to." Anyway, so there's no need me telling him. And she came back and told me that, and I fixed him a hot cake, and I took the raw egg and shell, and just laid it on the hot top of the hot cake and sent it out to him. She didn't want to take it, but I said, "Take it to him. That's the way I want to serve it." And he, boy, here he came. What the hell's going on around here? And I handed him that over easy egg that I had already fixed for him. He went on out and ate it, but bless his heart, he went that day down to Emporia, where my boss was at, the big boss, CEO of the restaurants. His name was, I can't think of it right now, but anyhow, he told him he ought to make me a manager. And the next Friday, he came to the restaurant there in Topeka to audit the books. Every Friday, he audited the books. And he called me back to the office and said, I want you to report to Lawrence Restaurant Monday morning as a manager trainee. And so that's where I went. And that's the reason I got into the management part of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a cool story.
I tell people, you know, be nice to people because you never know who you're going to run into.
Absolutely. You're 100%. You know, I agree with you 100%. That's my mantra.
Yeah.
Be a cool dude. That's it. That's all you got to do. Be a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Super simple.
I hired a girl as a waitress from Cassidy. She was 18 years old, just out of high school. Her name was Joanne Lawyer. And the Turnpike bosses came in there one day and saw her, and they was impressed with her. And they stole her from me. They took her to Wichita, and she ended up being the executive secretary.
Really?
For the boss.
That's cool.
And, you know, like I say,
You never know.
Never know who's going to walk in that door.
Yeah.
And I had one lady, I'll tell you this story, I had one lady, she said, T.W., I don't know how you ever got to be a manager. And I said, Wanda, I got to be the manager the same way you got to be a manager. We both knew somebody to help us along the way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd have still been a waitress,
yeah,
and I'd have still been a fry cook.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
I really, really enjoyed it.
Let me ask you, so you said that after you served in the Navy during World War II, you got called back into the Army for the Korean War, is that correct?
Yes.
So what's the story behind that?
Well, I got out of the Navy, and we had a lot of, I couldn't figure this out, but in the Army, we had a lot of Navy guys that had joined this Army outfit. But a guy came to me one night, and his name was Benny Doyle. They were next door to me. He said, I'm going out here to the Army Depot this evening to an Army Reserve meeting. He said, why don't you go with me? He said, they pay you a day's pay for going out there for 2 hours. We don't do anything. We don't have any equipment. We just kind of sit around and read a few maps and drink coffee and tell stories. And okay, I'll go with you. That was on a Monday night. So I went out with him, and I ended up signing up. This was in June. And in July, we got orders to report to Fort Sill, 1950.
And it all
for $2 a night.
$2 a night.
Yeah.
Day's pay.
Yeah. Day's pay. And I had a real good job on the railroad, boy, I'll tell you. But, that was the story behind me going to Fort Sill, or going to Korea. And the guy that talked me into going out there was, he didn't pass the physical.
So he didn't?
So
you had to go.
There was a bunch of us from Parsons that went. We were just a reserve company, you know. Most of them was from Parsons. Some of them was from Cherryvale. And to be called up real quick like that all at once, it was hard on them families.
Oh, I bet it was.
Married and just starting out life and having kids. And one guy, I remember, he had a dairy out west of Parsons. And we just had a couple weeks to get ready to go to Fort Sill. And he sold his cattle out. I don't know whether he sold his farm or not, but he sold all his cattle and everything. And he went to Leavenworth I don't remember what his name was. And then he didn't pass his physical. So that'd be hard to do, wouldn't
it? Yeah.
Boy. But we, over in Korea, we slept in a pup tent for about 3 or 4 months. And that was around Christmas time and New Year's, 1950 and 51. And it's a wonder we didn't freeze to death.
Yeah, but it was cold. That's what I've heard. It was freezing.
It was a cold place.
Yeah.
And you could get 6 men at a pup tent and a comb and lantern and play poker. You know what a pup tent is. Uh-huh. It's just a 2-man tent. Yeah. Each one of you had a half of a shelter. And then you put it together and slept in it. Of course, I was in the mess hall as a cook and got to be a mess sergeant later on in life. Stayed in the reserves till I thought they was going to call me back up again, and I decided I was going to get out.
Yeah.
If I was going
to. You already been in two, that's enough.
Yeah, I had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, food's here, and I don't want to keep you from eating, so. Thank you for your service, TW, and thank you for coming to lunch with me today. I really appreciate
it. You bet.
Thank you.
Yeah.